Okay, Richard, we had a query at the last meeting about just getting a bit of a debrief on the multi-sports event. There's a few comments made about, you know, how busy some of the roads were. And I'm aware that you had I think there was an accident in Loch Tay as well. So maybe just a bit of a debrief from your perspective on the multi-sports event.
Yeah, sure, Victor. Thanks for inviting me along. I did say at the last meeting I came to that I was happy to come along at any point to, you know, to chat through any sort of comments or anything that were made after the event. So I think just to start off with, I think it's important to say that, you know, it was great to get back delivering events again this year after, you know, after being a very difficult 18 months. Just listening to a few comments there about businesses, you know, making their way through the pandemic or not, as the case may be in some cases, you know, the supply chain for the events industry has been absolutely stretched to the maximum. And so that's affected quite a lot of event delivery. I think for us, a couple of the stresses that appeared on the event were around some of the traffic management, particularly in the town, where we were a little bit stretched in places. The pre-event comms, the letters that we put out, some of those didn't get out on to some of the residents in Almer Avenue, which was unfortunate. But I did try and pick up all the queries that were coming through, certainly coming through the community Facebook page. I was trying to get back to those comments individually, and I think I got back to most of those, and we managed to deal with any specific difficulties of people to you know, moving around on the roads. In terms of the busyness, this year we hosted the British Championships on the Sunday, the British Triathlon Championships on the Sunday. So we were at capacity. The event, we took 750 entries, which is capacity. We had 629 actual athletes raced on the Sunday. And so, yes, we've coupled with the additional pressures on the road network with, you know, with visitor numbers increasing because of the pandemic, it was busier than normal, and it would appeared busier than normal years. Historically, numbers have varied in that particular race. On a normal year without a championship race, we would get about 450 to 500. If it's a British Championship race, we hosted the British Championships back in 2016, and we had similar numbers. We had around 700 athletes in 2016. So we have had these sort of numbers before. Except probably we haven't had them with the increased traffic, you know, because of the increased number of visitors in the area. Other things that, in terms of the accident you referred to, Victor, yes, very sadly, we did have a serious incident on the bike course. I hasten to add, it was nothing to do with the event organisation, anything to do with the any other vehicle or anything on the road. It was a sad accident. It really was. It was in a very innocuous part of the course. There was a full investigation done into the accident, and the result of that was that it was an accident, nothing more, nothing less. It may be that the rider had not been riding to the conditions. If you cast your mind back to that Sunday, it was sadly a typical August day that we're experiencing these days in August, in that it was wet, the road conditions were slippy. We mitigated that in terms of, you know, signage, usual signage, marshals, stewards, etc., in all the areas that were required. Some athletes you know, we're not riding to the conditions. And, you know, we as organisers can only do so much to prevent that as race organisers, but we do as much as we can in terms of delivering, you know, very comprehensive and robust safety briefings, both post-event and at the event. You know, they get that before they come to the event. Those briefings are mandatory, so we expect those athletes to attend. On a more positive note, I think that, you know, generally the event was well received by athletes. I think, interestingly, and I'll be totally honest, the community feeling to the event has changed, which I'm trying to address. I'm trying to get my head around. The triathlons were started in Aberfeldy, and many of you, you know, around this screen were around long before I was here and knew about the triathlons. You know, they were started by the people of Aberfeldy, and they were 100% behind these events, absolutely 100%. But I'm sad to say that that has changed, and I'm constantly getting quite a lot of not abuse, that's too strong a word, but quite a lot of heavy criticism, you know, through social media, even in the town as well, about the event, which is a shame, really, because overall, I think, yes, this year was a weird year, and there was a few things that were we didn't get quite right. We'll put our hands up. We could improve on, and we'll learn from those for future years. But overall, it was a very good event. It brought a lot of business into the town. It continues to highlight Aberfeldy as an area that people come back to, not for activity, for triathlon, for swimming, for biking, for running, and not just around the event. You know, the economic impact of the event is not just over that event weekend. We know that it's out with the weekend. It's repeat visits are many, you know, around the event. So, yeah, I think that if there's any other questions, that's sort of an initial summary. But if anybody's got any specific questions, very happy to take them, Victor.
It was a point made at the last meeting, Richard, that your multi-sports event is maybe starting to compete with a TAP in terms of size. So it started off as a small event, but now it's obviously a much more significant event. So maybe some of these problems are maybe not surprising given the size of it now.
It certainly isn't on the scale of it isn't quite on the scale of a TAP, Victor. But yeah, I certainly take that comment on board that it has grown into a far more significant event than the small event than it used to be. But that growth has happened over a number of years. It's not been particularly quick. It's certainly grown slowly over a number of years. It's probably, it's something that we will need to look at going forward if numbers continue to increase. But as I said at the start, you know, there is a cap on this of 750. We've talked to, we have a safety advisory group, which the police sit on. So we've and the other emergency services, along with the council's road department. So we'll continue to talk to them about it and take their advice and show them our management plans and take advice from them.
I actually had a few complaints, Richard, about people thinking it was like ETAP when the roads were closed, you know. The amount of people came to me and says, what can you do about it? And I'm thinking, me personally, not a lot. Several people actually came round the corner when there was four bites in a row. You know, like they do that on ETAP and everything else, but there was no courtesy to people in cars because the bikes thought they had the road.
Yeah.
So that was one of the big problems that a lot of people came to me about, and I'm thinking, well, I don't know. Surely maybe some of them have done ETAP when the roads are closed, so they're just assuming. And quite a lot of folk were really quite annoyed because, you know, people were just not caring on the bikes.
You know, I think this is something that we, again, through all the briefings, Val, is that we're very careful that we say to people that, you know, it is not on closed road event. It is not a closed road event. Yeah. You know, we're very, very clear about that. And, you know, is it something that we need to look at? You know, that is a very controversial decision to do that, considering, you know, what the community's views are on a tap and the
crossroads
on a tap. In terms of you know, the way that athletes behave on the road, it is our responsibility as event organizers to make sure they have a very clear briefing that they are on open roads, that our stewards are well briefed to manage their behavior and to try and control that behavior. We have a number of referees out on the course as well, and they, it's their role to do that as well. I'm not saying what you said hasn't happened. I'm not saying that at all, because it is something that I have heard that has happened. You know, I haven't, there's been no evidence of, I haven't seen, personally didn't see that, but I'm not, I have heard that this was the case.
I've worked at ETAP, and the riders don't actually listen half the time if you're telling them to slow down. And I worked in Alistair, and you know what that hill's like, and I was like, really, guys, you've got to slow down. And they just, because they're in the zone, 9 times out of 10, they actually don't listen to you because they're on a mission. And I'm not saying it's your fault, not at all. I'm just telling you what people have been saying to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you know, at the end of the day, because I've been at ETAP and worked there, I can see both sides. But because it's not a closed road, I have no idea how you can, you know, just, I don't know. But as I say, when they said there was an accident, somebody went, I'm not surprised, you know, and I thought, oh dear. Because they'd experienced the bikes just doing what they want and at the speed they're going.
Yeah.
So...
Richard, I think it was like, I think I had get caught up in the traffic going out to Dull, and I think you're right that the time scale this year with everything with COVID, trying to get everything in place and organised has probably not helped matters.
No.
And certainly the extra traffic on the road, when I was coming back from Dull, I think there was about 6 motorhomes on that stretch of the road, and I think they were holding up the cyclists, if you like. The cyclists were trying to go faster than the motorhomes, or the motorhomes couldn't get past the cyclists because there's maybe 3 or 4, you know, all cycling, not abreast, but all in a row, and for the, like a vehicle like a motorhome to try and get the speed up to get past them and things. And if you've got 3 or 4 motorhomes and lots of cyclists, I think there was, you know, quite a bit of congestion there. And I think it's such a shame that if you're getting lots of negativity around the event, because I think you're right, you know, it's been happening, it's different to ETAP because it seems it's more local based, it's, you know, started in Aberfeldy, it does bring revenue, as you say, throughout the year into it, but yeah, hopefully going ahead, but maybe, you know, a road closure, you know, is that something that could maybe be looked at, or the times of the events, you know, when they're on and things, the times of the day, and I don't know, it's just, I suppose, that it is, you know, a popular event, and it'd be a shame to see it not happening in Aberfeldy.
I think there's a few things within that, Lorraine, that, you know, I think we it wouldn't have to be, you know, we could look at road closures and it wouldn't have to be full road closure. It could be rolling road closures, it could be a half road closure with a little bit of thought around diversions and how we keep traffic flowing, but we keep the traffic off to a minimum on the race route. This is something that we're looking at. In terms of times of day, you know, it already starts reasonably early with the 7 o'clock start, but there's no reason why we couldn't even look at that and bring that forward to an hour. In August, we'd have to be conscious of daylight, of dawn, you know, because we can't have athletes setting off, in the dark. So we'd have to be conscious of that. But there is room to manoeuvre. I think daylight at that time of year is about, we normally open transition at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I know it's dark then because we bring in tower lights, but by I think 6:15, it's daylight then or light enough to start. So we could potentially do that. So I guess what I'm saying is that, I think we won't have those sort of numbers in 2021. We won't have those sort of numbers because it won't be the British Championships. You know, I guess we'd be looking at something in the region of around back to our 500, something of that sort of order for the triathlon. And, you know, I think if the community, you know, and I do genuinely mean this, I think we have to work alongside the community. I don't want to cause annoyance in the community. I think we want the community to welcome the event. We want people to visitors to also to feel welcome as well. But we want these people, going back to Val's comment, we also want them to behave themselves and to race safely as well. And that's a message.
Really. I'm only passing things on. It's nothing to do with me.
Val, and it is a message that I have heard. So don't worry. But yeah, I think it. You know, so I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, we want to work with the community. We are working with the safety advisory group to make sure that it is as safe as possible and take it forward on that basis.
You're never going to please everybody, though, Richard. Let's be fair about it. No. It doesn't matter what you do, you know.
And I think a lot of the complaints that were, or comments that were on the community notice board, you obviously intervened and, you know, you were able to answer all of them. And you're always going to get the people who are going to moan because they've to walk an extra 20 yards out of their comfort zone.
Some of those I addressed personally. I know some of them I did publicly, but some of them I did address personally. And they were all around, as you say, Lorraine, they were mainly around access and people being able to move around.
I think the thing here, Richard, is obviously for 2022, maybe just be in contact with us in good time, especially if you think there's things we need to know about. We'll obviously pay more attention to this. So this year we give you the benefit of the doubt, and that was the right thing to do. But obviously we might pay a wee bit more attention to it next year. So just be in contact in good time.
Yep.
I see, John, you got your hand up.
Yeah, I was just wanting to say a few things, but I think a lot of them have been said, to be honest with you. But, you know, these kind of events, I think, should be welcomed by the community. You know, in Highland Perthshire, outdoor activities are very popular and, you know, form quite a lot of the local businesses and things like that. And so we should be welcoming them and, you know, the benefits to the local community. You're right, Victor, in that a lot of the problems stem from not a lack of communication, but just, you know, a need to get some detail out there probably early enough that people know what's happening fully. And also afterwards, you know, it sometimes helps to spell out to people what the benefits have been? I don't know if you do any kind of follow-up kind of marketing type survey of the people that take part about whether they will come back to the area, you know, for a weekend or whatever. And if we can spell out what it actually means to the local economy, that might be a message. But I think generally speaking, and I find it as well, you know, that people, I don't know if it's a COVID related thing, people are a bit less patient at the moment, and maybe they've got too much time in their hands that they've got plenty of time to moan about things. I'm not sure. I don't foray into social media very often myself for just these particular reasons, but you're doing a good job, Richard, in promoting these things locally, I think. And it's a shame that some people, and I'm sure it's not a majority, have put a negative aspect on certain parts of that. And it's probably just, you know, a lack of patience at times.
Thank you, John. I think it's been useful to have that little catch up. I think that's been a good thing, Richard.
Yep, thanks. Thanks for that, Victor. And yes, I will. What I'll do is, just very briefly, the plan is to reopen entries at the end of this month for the event. But what I can do is we normally do that, and then that's obviously it starts the permissions process and with Perth and Kinross Council and with the police and the safety advisory group. So what I can do, Victor, is sort of keep in touch, maybe come along to the February meeting to begin with, and just to give you an update on how that initial, sort of planning process has gone and how it's starting.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, we'll let you go if you want to go now, Richard, or you can stay around for the rest of the meeting if you want to.
Thanks. I will crack on if that's okay with everybody.
Okay. That was useful. Thank you.
Thanks, Victor. Cheers. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.